2 Samuel chapter 6. David again gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baali Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of Yahweh of Armies, who sits above the cherubim. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in the hill with the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. David and all the house of Israel played before Yahweh with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, harps, stringed instruments, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out for the Ark of God and grabbed hold of it, for the cattle had stumbled. The anger of Yahweh was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and there he died by the Ark of God. David was displeased because Yahweh had broken forth on Uzzah, and he called that place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of Yahweh that day, and he said, "How can the Ark of Yahweh come to me?" So David would not move the Ark of Yahweh to be with him in the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Well, it seems that God's being very strict here, because you could say that, well, they've made a new ark, a new cart for it. They were bringing it to Zion. They were rejoicing before God with all these kinds of instruments. But in the law of Moses, it was written that the ark could only be carried by some of the Levites on poles on their shoulders. And that's why the ark had rings in the side of it. It was all designed to be carried properly by the Levites. And yet David doesn't pay attention to that. He thinks, oh yeah, now let's put it on a cart and let's make a new cart. That'll be okay. And then God lashes out and kills this man who puts out his hand to steady it when it's just about to fall off because the cattle stumble, and so the ark was not really, I suppose, tied on to the cart, and it was about to fall off. It was only a small box, really. It's about to fall off. So Uzzah put his hand out to steady it, and he was killed. And it seems very extreme, especially when you consider how God puts up with all manner of sin and weakness and apparently says nothing in so many cases. It's rather like with Moses. He spoke wrongly with his lips when he got cranky with the Israelites and said, "Must we bring you water out of this rock?" And he hits the rock instead of talking to it. And so he's told he can't enter into Canaan. It all does seem a bit funny that God is so patient with people who are very cranky and weak and wrong in their attitudes, and yet sometimes he judges very severely. And I think that is intentional for us to think, I wonder what that means. And I think what it means is this, that yes, God is very patient, and God very often does overlook sin and does not make an immediate judgment. But this doesn't mean that he doesn't feel the sin, because actually he feels all the sin that is committed. And all sin deserves death. And so as this man was punished for doing what he did, even though David, it seems to me, was partly at fault here, he said that he studied God's law every day in Psalm 119. Well, if that was so, well, why doesn't he do what God says in his law? Why think you can just do what you want? I think it's all to show us that God really does feel sin, and that every sin deserves death, deserves us to be struck down. And the fact that we're not is not because God sort of sees so much sin he kind of doesn't notice, or that he's sort of on autopilot and automatically overlooks it. No, he feels it all, just that he generally doesn't judge immediately. He does judge, but doesn't give the judgment immediately. So you have these incidents like this to show us that sin really is important, and it really does bring death. So David won't have the ark come to him, so it goes into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, which means a man from Gath. Well, who else was from Gath? It was Philistine country, and it was Goliath who came from Gath. So it just shows you that people who were once from the very worst areas, who were once maybe the enemies of God, were converted to his ways. This is one of the greatest proofs that really God is real in the huge and amazing conversions of people, like Obed-Edom, I guess, the servant of Edom, an Edomite maybe, not even an Israelite, a Gentile. The Ark of Yahweh remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and Yahweh blessed Obed-Edom and all his house. It was told David, saying, Yahweh has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertains to him because of the Ark of God. David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with joy. It was so that when those who bore the Ark of Yahweh had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened calf. So now they are carrying the Ark of Yahweh just as they were told to. So David does learn from his mistakes, and that's an important thing, that he learnt that, no, we must do it properly, and he does it. And David danced before Yahweh with all his might, and David was clothed in a linen ephod. Well, he acts really as a priest, although he was not from the tribe of Levi and the tribe of Judah. So on one hand, God is not tied by the letter of the law, and David acts beyond the letter of the law. He acts like a priest when he isn't. And yet that doesn't mean that you can just break God's law as you like. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of Yahweh with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. It was so, as the Ark of Yahweh came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, that's David's wife, looked out at the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before Yahweh, and she despised him in her heart. I think she probably worshipped idols, because when they come to her place to kill David, she puts an idol in his bed that was so big it looked like a man, to make it look as if David was sick in bed. So she despised his enthusiasm for God, and you can see that today as well in people. They brought in the Ark of Yahweh, set it in its place in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before Yahweh. When David had made an end of offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Yahweh of armies. He distributed to all the people, both to men and women, a portion of bread, dates, and raisins. Well, the raisins were the fruit of the vine, really. So it was a kind of like giving bread and wine, almost, a sign of fellowship with God and each other. So all the people departed, each one to his house, and David returned to bless his household. Michal, the daughter of Saul, this is David's wife, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious the king of Israel was today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." David said to Michal, "It was in the eyes of Yahweh who chose me before your father and before all his house to appoint me prince over the people of Yahweh, over Israel. Therefore will I celebrate in the eyes of Yahweh." Well, I think that's an example of somebody says something to you that you don't like, so you hit them back. Because she says, "Oh, you know, that was pretty shameful, how you were rejoicing before God pretty much naked." And he says, "No, it was before God, Yahweh, who chose me before your father." You know, like, dig, 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 your father Saul got replaced, was taken out, and I replaced him. That unfortunately happens so often in human conversations that someone has a dig at someone else, and instead of overlooking it and being wise, they dig back. And David goes on, "And I'll be yet more vile than this, and I will be base in my own eyes. And of the handmaids of whom you've spoken, they will honour me." Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. It seems that God punished her for that. And so it does show that she was overall in the wrong, although David also, in my opinion, didn't respond as he should have done.